If you were to put yourselves in the shoes of the apostles, you must feel bad for them. They left everything behind to follow Jesus, which was kind of a sad experience, but it resulted in joy because they realized that Jesus was the Messiah. But then Jesus begins to speak about him needing to die, and they're sad again. And then he takes them up the mountain at the Transfiguration, and they're happy again. And then he dies, and they're sad again. And he rises, and they're happy again. And now he says he's going home to his Father, and they're sad again. A lot of back and forth with Jesus. Do you ever feel that way? And the question that he poses to his apostles today is, what is the character of your love going to be when I'm gone? To name a popular song title, "Will You Love Me When I'm Gone?" Well, loving Jesus when he's gone, loving him now in 2014, Jesus says the way that we show that we love him is by following his commandments. But it's more than that. It's also how we realize his love. In other words, if you don't feel the love of Christ, perhaps it could be because you're not following his commandments. Not that he punishes us, but that the commandments allow us to be disposed to the love of God. In other words, I can't even, if you were to make an analogy between the love of God and a marriage, which God often does in Scripture, how can I love my spouse if I'm regularly cheating on them? It is required to be in love with that person to follow certain rules, and that's why Jesus gives us commandments. The Ten Commandments, the greatest commandment, and the whole of his teaching, humility and service, reaching out to the outcasts. But there are other ways in which we can maybe be void of the love of God. Or in other words, oftentimes we'll experience a distance from God. And it could be for other reasons than just not following his commandments. One might be that Jesus actually withdraws from us for a time or for a while. I was at a dinner the other night and a little nine-month-year-old girl who is learning to pull herself up and trying to walk, she came crawling over to the chair next to me, pulled herself up, and she hung onto the chair with one hand, and the other hand she kind of reached out towards my chair, and she dangled her right foot in the air, wanting to take that step. And I saw her trying to do this, so I reached out my hand and offered to kind of help her, and then she recoiled back to the chair she was going to. There must be something about wearing all black. Some of you have had the experience of helping a child learn how to walk. You put them down in front of you, a step away from you, just a step away, and you say, "Come here." And they kind of look at you with trepidation, and they'll either fall or they'll take that step towards you. Guys, God often does the same thing to us in our spiritual lives. He'll put us down, makes us a little anxious when we don't feel his presence, and then ask us to take a step towards him. Why? Because he knows you're capable of the growth. He knows that you are made in his image and likeness. That's divine image. And you have the capability of becoming more. And so God will set you down. He will ask you to take a step towards him. A step of growth. And sometimes we recoil like that little child. We get fearful. But you need not fear. When God feels distance, sometimes it's because he's giving you the opportunity to come closer to him. Another reason why sometimes we don't feel the presence of Jesus is because we expect it to come in a certain way. It would be really great if we could sit down with Jesus like the apostles did 2,000 years ago. I always wonder, if I had one question I could ask Jesus, what would it be? I'd love to sit down and talk to the guy. I'd love to ask him what the heck he's doing, because none of it makes sense to me. But he isn't here. Not like that. But immediately when you ask yourself the question, then how is he here? Right away, we see three ways in which Jesus is particularly present to us. And sometimes we want him to be present to us like another human being. But that's not his mode of operation now, not in his church. And that's the first way in which he is present, through his church, through this body right here. And if all we do is come to Mass on Sunday and we never really plug into the family of the church, especially through a life of stewardship, sometimes we're lacking the presence of Jesus because we're not plugged into the body. We're not regularly intimate with the body of Christ. Sometimes it's because we're not intimate with his word. How many of us read scripture every day? This is a necessity to know Jesus. If you're not reading the scriptures every day, you're going to feel a distance from God. And it doesn't mean you got to sit down and read the whole Bible every day or read a book or read a chapter. Start with Matthew, Mark, or Luke and read what we call a pericope. They're titled. They have usually have bold titles like Jesus Heals the Leper. Read that one. Imagine yourself in the story. What was it like? And often the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Thirdly, Jesus is present to us in the Eucharist. We believe as Catholics that Jesus Christ is truly and sacramentally present in that bread that's been transformed into the body and blood of Christ. Yet how many of us spend an hour with him each week in adoration? Every Catholic, unless you are disabled and at home in bed, should have an hour of adoration with our Lord. That's your chance to sit with Jesus. If I told you that Jesus had come back and he was booking appointments and wanted to meet with you, you'd sign up right away. What do you think's going on every Tuesday and Wednesday here at our parish? And at many of our parishes 24/7. He's asking you to book an appointment with him, to come and see him so he can talk to you. When we don't experience the presence of God, the last reason, as I mentioned before, is sometimes because we haven't followed his commandments and we're dealing with sin. And it could be venial sin or it could be serious sin in our life. Both will, in effect, give you a distance from God. Venial sin, there are smaller sins, they wound our relationship with God. It's kind of like having a fight with a good friend. Not a serious fight, but a misunderstanding. And you feel the need to call him up and apologize or figure out what the miscommunication was. A mortal sin is like cheating on our spouse or turning away from our friend altogether, saying, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Either way, we're left with a feeling sometimes of not being close to Jesus. As I mentioned in my introduction, there's a popular song. It's by a band called Three Doors Down called Will You Love Me When I'm Gone? And I was caught by the lyrics of that because they kind of speak to this feeling of deadness inside. It says this: there's another world inside of me that you may never see. There are secrets in my life that I can't hide. Somewhere in the darkness, there's a light that I can't find. Maybe it's too far away, or maybe I'm just blind. All of us deal with a certain darkness inside of us, our fears, our ailments, our sin. And Satan loves to convince you that that darkness is all you are. And even when you can't see the light, which is the love of God, it doesn't mean it's not there. It might mean you're blind and you need Jesus like he did to so many to touch you and heal you. That light is never too far away. He goes on to say, roaming through this darkness, I'm alive, but I'm alone. Part of me is fighting this, but part of me is gone. Is it time to get that part back? Jesus offers you a restoration to your baptismal purity every time you come to confession. A restoration to the beauty of your baptism when you come and confess your sins. It's interesting that in the refrain, lead singer Brad Arnold says the solution to his problem, and we don't know to whom he's speaking, but in my world, he's speaking to God. He says, right me when I'm wrong. Is that our prayer? God, right me when I'm wrong. So when you feel distance from Jesus, why is it? Is it because you have disobeyed his commandments? Are you resisting the writing when he wants to right you from your wrong? Is it because perhaps he set you down and backed away a step and wants you to grow? Or because you're not involved in the sacramental life of the church, this family, this Eucharist, his scripture? When we feel that distance, let us ask these three questions. And if we find that we have disobeyed the commandments or there's a darkness inside, know that we have a light that shines and that God only wants to make brighter. And if we've been away from his sacraments, to turn toward them in faith, especially in Eucharistic adoration. And if he set us down, let us not be afraid to take that step.